Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Banca Transilvania Financial Results First Semester 2017 conference call. I will now hand over to your host, Mr. Ömer Tetik, CEO, Mr. George Călinescu, CFO, Ms. Mihaela Nădășan, International Relations and Financial Institution Executive, and Ms. Luminița Runcan, CRO. Sirs, madam, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for joining us, especially during the vacation days, and we are glad to meet again over the phone, trying to explain our financial results. This is Ömer Tetik, CEO of Banca Transilvania. As you have seen today, according to Eurostat, actually, Romanian economy is the fastest growing European economy. According to the latest figures, the last two quarters, economic growth has reached 5.8%, and the last quarter was 5.9%. So, what is more encouraging for us is that in the last quarter, the consumption started tapering down, the investment has started to increase, and the demand on the corporate loan side, although slightly, company loan side and SME loans started to increase. Romanian economy, while growing, also definitely banking system continues its growth, and the total assets of the banking system, we assume, we forecast at the end of the second quarter, at the end of the first half of this year, has reached 400 billion lei on a continuous trend. This number you should be reading not only for BT, but also for all banking system, that it is after the write-offs, which are continuing, because all the banking system has an average target of reaching, 6.5% or below 6.5% NPE ratio, non-performing exposures ratio, at the end of this year. That's why, all the banks are making continuous efforts to take loans off balance sheet and to clean their balance sheets. Currently, the NPE ratio, NPL ratio, as we, as far as we know, for the second quarter of the year is close to 9%, and it is decreasing further. Housing loans remains the key driver. The residential construction permits, as compared to last year, have increased 84% in the last 12 months. So this is coming with the, let's say, economic growth, with the increase in salaries and life standards, expectations, migration towards to larger cities, Bucharest, Cluj, Iași, Constanța. And also, how to say, definitely, both customers and the lenders are benefiting from the low interest environment, with the asset prices quite stable. What we see in the real estate market, the difference as compared to 10 years ago, is that although there is a strong and solid demand, the prices are not ballooning, and the increases are quite reasonable. On the corporate loan side, the dynamics are positive. The, how to say, we see demand growing, demand picking up, and also, especially on the SME side, we see that companies are much more interested. We have seen it also on our own skin. Our micro-lending company, subsidiary, BT Micro, has granted loans almost 20 million euros equivalent since its operational, let's say, inauguration, with rather small ticket sizes. And the inflation is slightly picking up. Our also chief economist saying that we will be going towards 2% early next year, and over 2.5% towards the end of next year. So this will definitely give some indication about the monetary policy and interest rates. But any change in interest rates also reflecting on the Euro RON. We have seen quite a volatile June, early July, due to political changes, let's say, change of the government. It was a short period of tension, but the markets reverted back to normal, both on money markets, fixed income, and foreign exchange. Coming back to numbers of Banca Transilvania, as we have tried to outline slightly in our press release, we are glad to see that our net interest margin is quite stable and our net interest income is higher than last year. Also, we are repeating this maybe on the during each call, but our operational income, including the commission, fee income, and foreign exchange or other trading activities, is growing double digit. This is a positive thing for the, let's say, it's a very healthy growth of revenues, and which we had been targeting, and so far achieved our target, and we want to focus on that further on. Also, in the first quarter of the year, we were planning to finalize a sale of NPL portfolio, which we prolonged further in the, to the month of July. So it is the results of sales are not in the financial results of first month, but you will see it in our financial statements quite well explained. However, we have seen also increased performance in the recovery activity internally in the bank, and the in the first 6 months we have 76 million lei, over 15 million euro recoveries from sub-performing or non-performing loans, without including the sales of non-performing loans as mentioned. The receipts of the non-performing loans sales will be almost 96 million lei, as you will see in the financial statement, at a price close to 25 cents per dollar, which we consider quite positive also in terms of budgeting and achieving the budgeted target. As regard to the assets for sale and fixed income portfolio, we have quite a good reserve accumulated. AFS reserves are 144 million lei. The net 20 million loss, mainly coming from the transactions of the first quarter, where we explained to you that we wanted to restructure, optimize our portfolio by changing some maturities on papers, paid well, because now we have a, let's say, better performing fixed income book. And coming back to the cost side, definitely we feel also the pressure from the cost side, especially coming from the salaries. Increased life standards in Romania are putting pressures on rents and other costs, other adjacent costs. The thing is that we think that we have taken the necessary measures, but also continuing to optimize our headcount and network in some of the locations that we consider that they don't have enough number of customers or asset size. We are merging with existing locations, relocating or closing. This will have a slight impact on the cost income ratio. Our cost income ratio at the end of first 6 months was 49.3%. If we exclude, or if we, let's say, amortize the impact of one-offs, including the deposit guarantee fund and some other one-offs, we would be around 48.5%. That would mean that under normal circumstances, we would be going towards 45% in cost income. But with the, let's say, optimization of, how to say, physical optimization of headcount and network, we might be struggling to go below 45%, although for the next years we will be having a better, let's say, fit and lean organization. As regard to the provisions, in the second quarter we didn't have any significant movements, but we continued also cleaning our balance sheet, and total write-offs reached 386 million lei, so that 50% of what we have budgeted to write off this year had been written off. because as I have mentioned, our NPE ratio targeted to reach between 6% and 7% this year. If you look at the general performance of the portfolio, not only collections or sales, we feel that the economic growth definitely helps with the performance, portfolio performance. But also we had been explaining to you that we are updating our underwriting processes, scorings, and our flows. So far, we consider it was a good success, although it was quite tricky to do all these changes across all business lines at once at the beginning of the year. It was a tricky thing, but on the other hand, now we see that time to yes has improved. We look at the customers chosen. They are, how to say, of better rating, and also we see that cost of risk has improved drastically, that we are comfortable with, and we hope that, and we assume that this will continue in the coming period. As regards to the, let's say, general balance sheet calculations, maybe it's worth to mention that also we are preparing for IFRS 9, and starting with September results, we will start announcing you, giving you some guidelines about the impact of IFRS 9 for the next year. We have enough buffers in our, let's say, capital base so that we don't expect any important changes. But also, it's worth to remind that our Tier 1 capital ratio is 18.9%. If you would include our profitability for the first semester, it would be close to 20% capital adequacy ratio for the first half of 2017. Our total assets are at 53.2 billion. So the growth continues, and this growth, as I mentioned, is on a healthy base, coming from bringing more fees and commissions incomes, maintaining a stable net interest income with cost of risk below 0.5%, and giving us a net profitability of 496 million for the first half of the year. Our net interest income has increased 3.3%, our fee and commission income 12.7%, net trading income 27.4%, and operating expenses also has seen a double-digit growth at 12.9%. Our loan book is growing on all business lines, on all segments, and we would like to also make a verbal disclaimer that we have been explaining with the change of underwriting flows and processes, we also resegmented our customer base in terms of SME, corporate, large corporate, and retail, and also retail in itself. Starting with September, we will be reporting to you with the new segmentation. There you will see some differences, but we will try to also clarify why those differences in terms of assets growth or numbers happen to be there. Our retail loan book has reached almost 16 billion lei, and companies loan book, which is corporate and SME customers, is at 15 billion lei. As you know also well, that we are mainly lending in lei. 75% to 80% of our loan book is always in the local currency. Despite decreasing interest rates continuously during 2017 as well, our deposit base is growing because customers are coming also for, let's say, the services we offer, for the digital platforms that we offer, and our household deposits reach 28 billion. Company deposits are stable at 15.5 billion lei. The NPL ratio of the bank is at 4.09, with the, let's say, coverage ratio, including the real estate collateral, at 120%. If you will say that, if you look at the coverage ratio without real estate collateral, it is at, stated at 77%. One of of our, let's say, main business lines, and we are very proud that we are the promoter of SME business in Romania. The loan portfolio reached 4 billion lei with 230,000 active customers. This is also fueled by the extra efforts that the bank did in terms of products and services offered to this segment. We have already launched new current account packages and new subscription packages to our customers. Our agriculture, healthcare, and European structural fund divisions are on full steam, growing further. If you look at the consolidated figures, the total profitability of the group, supported very much by our subsidiaries, BT Capital Partners, BT Direct, Operation Leasing, BT Micro Leasing, and Asset Management. Our asset management company and leasing company are becoming top of the segment in their own domain, and growing further, contributing to the bottom line of the group as well. The total profitability of BT Group, net income after taxation, is at 512.7 million lei, with total assets of 53.4 billion lei. I would also add up, probably there will be more questions to come when we switch to the Q&A. We think that our capital adequacy ratio, also kind of forecasting upcoming changes with in terms of IFRS and other, let's say, regulatory potential changes, we would like to maintain a capital adequacy ratio of minimum 14%. We are preparing ourselves for the changes of next year, and also we would like to maintain a good return on equity so that probably the last quarter of this year you will be receiving a more detailed dividend policy, clarifying some of the questions that we received separately, individually, or during the events where we have met, so that we will definitely both offer transparency and also attractive yield for the shareholders of Banca Transilvania. Thank you very much so far for listening, and I suggest that we switch to Q&A. Me and my colleagues will try to answer your questions. In case we cannot provide the answer directly, definitely we'll come back to you, or we'll also improve our presentation, which is already in the bank's website. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask a question. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question comes from the participant whose line ends 3022. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone, this is Andreas from Berenberg. Thank you very much for the presentation today and for taking my questions. I have a couple actually. So first one, can you please identify any one-offs anywhere in the P&L numbers? For example, income, OPEX, cost of risk? Second question is, can you also provide a breakdown of your cost of risk for Q2? For example, you know, provisions, recoveries, any gain on sale of the NPL? Also, can you please repeat regarding the sale of the NPL? Is this in the numbers for Q2, or will we see this effect in Q3 numbers? The third question is again relevant to cost of risk. So your budget for the year is around 660 million, which is far above what you've charged for the first half of the year. So should we expect higher provisions coming in the next quarters, or are you actually revising your guidance lower? And fourth question is about any actions you're actually taking to mitigate pressure on OPEX. If I heard correctly, you guided for 45% cost income next year. Thank you.
Hi, Andreas. Thank you very much for the questions. For the first and second quarter, for the second quarter, we don't have any, let's say, significant one-offs that would change the numbers, or we think that it's worth to mentioned in as regard to the budgeted provisioning, 660 million, we don't have any, let's say, certain bad news which we postponed. So we think, but on the other hand, we wanted to be very prudent in terms of IFRS 9 preparation. That's why I told you that we will give you more guidance about how the bank would look like with IFRS 9 at the current circumstances. Our estimation is that we won't have a huge impact, but still we wanted to be prepared. On the other hand, also I have to mention that the provision trends are better than our budgeted numbers, and the market looks better than when we were doing our budget in this sense. As regard to the OPEX, I tried to explain briefly how they, while taking some certain measures, we are doing it on two sides. One is by investing in automation and digitalization. We are trying to switch non-value-added services and also to online, and also to offer more convenience to our customers. But also, we are making an internal optimization project, so that at the end of the year, we will have a slightly less number of network agencies, and also a slightly lower headcount. In terms of the cost of risk breakdown, Mihaela wants to...
Just to let you know that there were no significant, let's say, one-offs. There was nothing like we were having in the first quarter when we had a higher release from the previous Darea Umplata-related kind of provision. So that was more or less the second quarter was only with normal kind of behavior, but definitely in an improved economic environment, which in the end was expenses with provisions, but also releases of provisions due to improved customers' behavior.
Okay, thank you. Can I just clarify the NPL sale? So the effect is in the Q2 numbers, or are we going to see this in Q3?
No, you will see the impact on the Q3.
And so the 96 is a gain, actually, on the sale of the portfolio. So it's what you will be booking in the account as a gain, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the participant whose line ends by 0200. Please introduce yourself before you ask your question. The participant with the number ending by 0200, your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me? Okay, so I would have a question regarding the tax gain from the deal with Volksbank. Are there any updates given the government's newfound attitude towards banks? And also, if you could give us an outlook for a recurring level for the net interest margin for the coming quarters. Thank you.
The first part, I will answer it, George here. No definite outcome at this point in time. We still went, as we explained in the financials for the end of the year, to look for the solution on the issue in court. We chose to go through administrative court, not waiting for a result of a control, because we wanted to find a solution in court as soon as possible to the issue. We had the first hearing in court in June, where, let's put it this way, all the evidence that the bank has provided was accepted by the court, and the one that was suggested in the form of an expertise. And the next court appointment was set up in September, where the court will look at the evidence itself.
With regard to the second question, when it comes to the net interest margin, more or less what we were stating over the last couple of quarters has proven it happening, meaning that the core, the let's say sustainable net interest margin at above 3.1% proved to be still the resistance level, and from that loans which were taken from Volksbank is nowadays fading away. Clearly, the second quarter of this year being the first quarter where the evidence is visible also in the difference between the overall net interest margin and that core net interest margin. So, for example, last year we were having the overall NIM at 3.40 with the core level at 3.12. This year we were having the overall level at 3.20 with the core at 3.11. So the core is sustainable and we can count on it also for the future, while the Volksbank related positive impact on the net interest income is going to be further fading away in the next quarters.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the participant whose line ends by 1184. Please introduce yourself before you ask a question.
Yes, hello everyone. This is Luciano Rosco from Wood & Company. Actually, most of my questions have been answered. Just double checking that I understood this correctly. You said that the NPL portfolio sale, this will result in a 96 million RON gain.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you. And maybe just one more thing on this difference in recovery value of the loans from Volksbank. Do we see anywhere how much is left on the balance sheet? I think on other liabilities, right?
No, it's not to be seen in the balance sheet. The point is that there is a difference between what was the fair value for those loans transferred and what is in the end the actual behavior of the customers. But more or less, it's going to be clearly decreased over the next quarter.
Okay. Because I had the impression in the first half 17 compared to 16, it's even a bit higher. You're looking at the.
It was just for the first half of 2016 compared to 17 was definitely higher. First quarter of 17 was more or less similar to first quarter 16, but second quarter of 17 is already showing the decrease. So more or less we started the path which was announced already from the moment when we were having that positive impact on the NIMs. We were mentioning that it is to be valid for 2 to 3 years. More or less, we are coming now to the end of the 3 years.
All right. Thank you very much.
Our following question comes from the participant whose line ends by 3022. Please introduce yourself before you ask your question. Thank you.
Hi there, it's Andreas again from Berenberg. I have a follow-up question. So are you actually on track to meet your OPEX budget for 2017, or do you think you will exceed the numbers you budgeted? Thank you.
There are minor deviations from the numbers. But the bottom line, for the bottom line of the bank, we don't have any concern for the delivery. But on the other hand, both on the income and the expenses, there will be some deviations. However, we don't think that it will be very significant. In any case, we had been budgeting as far as we could an increase in the OPEX as compared to last year. The reality is slightly above our budget numbers, but also the revenues are much performing much better. So that the general impact on the increased salaries in the economy puts pressure on the OPEX, but also it gives comfort to sell more cards, more banking products, more banking insurance, to have better deposit numbers and so on.
And improving also the cost of risk in
and
the end.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks.
We have a question. Please introduce yourself before you ask a question.
Hello, this is Maria Simikhatova from Citi. I have a couple of questions. First of all, can you remind us what's your margin sensitivity to a policy rate hike? The second question, you mentioned during the presentation that you revised your underwriting policies. Could you just provide more details or give us some examples what exactly changed? And finally, it would be very useful to hear your thoughts on how you see M&A opportunities for the bank in the sector, given the recent news, and just, yes, how that, if you expect anything to be happening on this front before the end of the year. Thank you.
So as regards to the policy rate hike, more or less it is all priced in the market, and we are, well, we were, at the beginning of the year, we were expecting a policy rate hike, which is certainly last quarter of this year. Maybe it will be a short delay, but looking at the inflation numbers, we consider that it will continue. On the other hand, perhaps our but when we were doing budgeting, these numbers, let's say 0.25 to 0.5% increase had been budgeted. On the other hand, I have to also remind you that our loan book is mainly heavily with the variable interest rate, with floating interest rate. Repricing is to between 3 to 6 months, so that our assets will be adapting quite rapidly to a new, let's say, interest rate policy. As regards to, sorry, I might have forgot the second question.
Was with regard to the changes in our lending procedure, which was started at the beginning of the year.
No, it's possible. That we wanted to have a couple of, let's say, targets at the same time. One was related with the efficiency of the processes, so that we wanted to, let's say, service a larger loan book and larger customer base with similar or less resources, to give back, let's say, to give answers quicker to our customers, but also to make kind of a hard change in our scoring and rating policies, because we have experience of pre-crisis up to 2008, then the, let's say, difficult times between 2008 to 2011, and the growth period starting with 2012. So we wanted to, let's say, make an analysis of our, let's say, our own decisions, and to have some lessons learned for us as well, which had been embedded in the scoring and lending activity. As regard to the M&A, I would say that definitely we are interested in the opportunities, as we have repeated several times, but on the other hand, we are also very attentive at the, let's say, cost of acquiring a portfolio or a bank. We see that in some cases the approach of BT and its competitors are not the same, because we are discussing about Banca Transilvania with a large network and well-experienced, loyal, but also quite big employee structure. So that when looking at the banks, we want to see some synergies after the integration. That's why we are not as aggressive as smaller entities or banks or fund managers. On the other hand, we see that more opportunities coming. Definitely, when there is something significant or serious, we will be informing the markets. So far, we are happy about our organic growth. And this year, again, all the, let's say, events, conferences, or conference calls, we have repeated that our main target is to offer a good return on equity and a good profitability to our shareholders and investors. The growth itself is not a sole target. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our following question comes from participant whose line ends by 0618. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Tunde Ojo from Hiding Lovna. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. So can you please maybe give an update on the announcement that we had in, I think, late June, where the government decided to change the private pension system and also change some taxation, which could impact in terms of corporate taxes. Has there been any update on that? Can you give us a sense of how that could impact you, if there's been any update?
So with the establishment of the new government, when the new government took over the positions, some of the, let's say, conversations had been also manipulated and amplified by the media outlets. But on the other hand, the, let's say, government officials, Ministry of Finance, have clearly stated that they don't have any drastic plans in regard to the pension funds and private pension system. On the other hand, indeed, Romania has to tackle a budget deficit issue while also promoting and encouraging investments. That's why we see that the, both government, technocrats, and also different, let's say, analysts and experts are debating several options, but there is no decision taken yet. And we will be seeing most probably first actions or information once the parliament will be back after the August vacation, probably in September. But on the other hand, it is very clear, also based on the governing body's declarations, Romania is a member of European Union and will not do anything against European Union rules, principles, plus which would be beyond the, let's say, IFRS principles and regulations.
Okay, thanks. That's very clear. And the other question I have is your cost of risk, right? As the half year is at 40 basis points, which is significantly lower than what you had last year and even what you projected. Can you give us an updated cost of risk guidance for 2017, especially given the NPL sales that you said, you know, is coming in Q3, and just trying to wrap all of this together in my head. Is there an updated number you can provide?
So, for cost of risk, as we have mentioned, we had also a pleasant surprise with the economic situation, but on the other hand, last year's efforts to clean up balance sheets paid back. We also consider that we have solved most of our legacy issues, which could be considered legacy issues. That's why we maintain our budgeted 200 basis points, but this also depends on the IFRS 9 impact. Now our finance reporting and risk divisions are working on the implementation of IFRS 9 and its impact on BT's financial statements. That's why before having the final numbers, I wouldn't like to pronounce any number. Just as I said, we will be sticking to the budgeted numbers, but the budgeted numbers is the, let's say, the ceiling of our expectations. We might deliver better numbers at the end of the year if the trends will continue.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
We have a question from participant whose line ends by 4178. Please go ahead. The participant with the line 4178 in the end, please, your line is open. You don't have any further question. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding.
Let's take one more final question, if there is any. If not, as I said, we are pleased to answer through the investor relations email address or our website any questions later on.
We have the last question from the participant with the line 4816. Your line is open.
Hi, hello. I'm Daniela Mândru from Swiss Capital. Now, regarding the dividend policy and the indicators that you gave to us, so you want to maintain a minimum capital adequacy ratio of 14% and a good ROE. What is ROE? What is this good ROE? What is the level that you target?
So, I'll say definitely saying minimum 14%, we wouldn't like to be at 14.01%. We would like to have a comfortable buffer as we have already. But also, as regard to the ROE, we consider that depends on the other markets and interest environment as well. But we consider that an ROE of 14 to 15% is quite decent, both for banking systems and also both for listed companies. So this is our basic guideline. But how to say, the dividend policy, as you may expect, will not be a commitment. If those two numbers are hit, there will be a trigger of certain payments of dividends, because there might be different opportunities. We have been asked, it can be some M&A activities, it might be a large, let's say, faster growth opportunity. Definitely we have to balance when we take a decision. We want to be able to factor in all the let's say, different indicators, including the growth assumptions, acquisition assumptions, IFRS 9, and also future developments. On the other hand, we don't want to be an inefficient spender of shareholders' money, definitely.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. And now, can you disclose what is the budgeted figure for the available for sales securities gain for this year?
Sorry, Daniela, I don't recall the number now and I don't have it somehow with me. We will come back to you. We'll edit in our presentation if necessary.
Yeah, the information is in the Board of Directors report on one of the last pages, the one presented at the shareholders' meeting. But for sure we can also come back with a clear figure.
Yes, because I wanted to check it because I have a figure of 272 million RON for the first half of the year you have a loss there. That's why I thought.
So we for sure are going to get back to you, but what we were mentioning already in the first quarter is that we preferred to have that loss out of that transaction, but improving the overall structure of the portfolio and having that, let's say, reserves in the equity. Clearly, we might not come with this figure to the exact amount which was budgeted, but definitely it's going to be offset by other chapters of income, and the bottom line should be hit. That's what we were promising on a yearly basis, and we are quite optimistic that it's going to happen again for this year.
Okay, thank you. And now regarding the reversals, you in the first quarter you reversed some 100 million for foreclosure, but I remember that you provisioned 175 million. We should expect other reversals coming from this foreclosure provisioning?
There might be different, let's say, actions taken when it comes to the provision structure in the bank. Those are going to be related also to IFRS 9, let's say, steps to be taken. So there might be changes in terms of different categories of provisions within the total provisions balance in the bank. But we are not saying that it is going to be definitely a certain amount to be released there. There might be releases with some other, let's say, expenses to be booked, but clearly things are going to be slightly different once this IFRS 9 is going to be in place.
Okay,
Okay, and now, since your provisioning is much below your budget, I don't know, your feeling, at a first glance, the net profit will go above 1 billion this year. This would be, I don't know, over-optimistic.
Daniela, you are now trying to see how to, let's say, more or less to get to clear answers. The point is that there are some positions maybe on the income side which might not be 100% met. There are some positions on the expense side which might also not be 100% met. What we clearly may say is that the bottom line budgeted is going to be met. If, let's say, the figure is going to be nicely higher, that's something which is still too early to estimate.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have no other question. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Thank you very much for joining us and for listening to us. We will be, let's say, coming back with hopefully as good numbers in 3 months' time, and giving you also guidance about IFRS 9, as we said. If you have further questions, please send us directly so that we will try to answer in time. I wish you, depending on the time zone that you leave, a nice afternoon or a nice morning. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.